Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm Scott Bennett. This is Great Awakenings on Global Freedom TV, and we are very honored for you to be with us. El semana pasada viajamos a Rusia para la muerte de un jornalista que fue matado, y ahora nosotros estamos acá en los Estados Unidos una vez más. Pero es porque nosotros fuimos absento la semana pasada por la muerte de la jornalista en Rusia. So for that, I'll leave it to my Spanish handlers. But we are joining you again tonight with the great Susan Lindauer, one of the most intelligent former CIA, DIA intelligence analysts. So we're going to be looking at a lot of the international events that are transpiring. There's so much to jump into. So we're going to encourage you to listen. And also go to our website, globalfreedomtv.com. Support us there. Email us there. You've got a PayPal tab that you can support the broadcast if you want. And we have some books and other materials up there. Go to globalfreedomtv.com. Susan Lindauer, it is an honor to be with you again. And I want to always mention your books. The notorious one was
Extreme Prejudice.
Extreme Prejudice by Susan Lindauer, L-I-N-D-A-E-A-U-E-R. Susan Lindauer, Extreme Prejudice. A wonderful tale. Make sure you go to that. Is there a website people should go to, Susan, for that?
No, you can just go to Amazon to get it. It's available in every country.
Susan Lindauer's Extreme Prejudice on Amazon. She has been on RT and many other platforms discussing her experience in the Central Intelligence Agency and beyond in Iraq, in New York. And we're delighted to have her with us tonight. Susan, we're going to jump right in. What are the most important issues that you've been discovering? This goes so fast and so quickly, but things are always in a kaleidoscopic rearrangement. What are the things that you think are preeminently developing and emerging that we need to be tracking and be analyzing? Go ahead, Susan Lindauer.
Well, the United States is in rapid decline. We are rapidly seeing the being abandoned by traditional European allies. This week, we saw France go to French President Macron travel to China for a meeting with President Xi in Beijing. And he said that the European nations are reconsidering their relationships with the United States and their devotion to US causes in the Asian sphere, a back reference to Taiwan and saying that the French people see that there needs to be a separation, that there's not the close shared interests of the past. That caused President Xi to say, do you only speak for yourself or do you speak for Europe? And so President Xi challenged France that he only speaks for himself. Now, immediately after that, the European Council President, Michel, declared that behind closed doors, there are many leaders in Europe who agree with Macron's statement that there needs to be a distancing from US interests in the Asian sphere particularly, but also with regards to Ukraine and Russia and the whole global community that Europeans are, and this was backed by the president of the European Union Council. And then quickly, the German foreign minister announced that she too was following Macron to China and that she was going to go make a trip in her own right to go speak with President Xi and to encourage him that no, Macron does not speak alone. His opinions are shared beyond though they may not be publicly declared at all times, behind closed doors, the Europeans are pulling away from the United States. This is a tremendous, considering what the United States has always declared, that NATO was our foremost ally, and the Europeans and And France was our first ally all the way back to the Revolutionary War 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. But this is a very, very, very serious crisis for Washington.
Yeah, and this is the article that you sent out that kind of encapsulate this. And I'll read it real quickly. Charles Michael, Europe warming up to Macron's strategic autonomy push away from the U.S. So what you were describing is Macron went to China with Ursula von Leyen, you know, the super Nazi, and sits at this big round table, which is quite comical. Huge round table with Xi at one end and Macron at another end and then Ursula von Leyen at the other end. And, you know, I think Macron is like a plastic puppet doll, you know, a boy out of his league. But nevertheless, he goes over there and he comes back saying, we need to be careful of, and he was sort of semi-pseudo diplomatic about it, but we need to be careful not to become U.S. vassals. Well, everyone's been saying this for how many decades, but in the most part, in the last year, we have really seen in the last year since January, February of 2023, I'm sorry, 2022, when the Ukrainian-Russian military interventionism occurred, we really saw a very clairvoyant, clear revelation that Europe, the European Union, and NATO are indeed all vassal states of the United States of America. And this doesn't bode well for European people. It doesn't bode well for European governments because—
Well, NATO has been programmed. NATO exists for the purpose of you know, marching lockstep with Washington, D.C., and that's the price that Europe pays for the United States providing, supplying its military defenses, paying for all the military defenses of the European nations. So the European nations may divert their own resources for healthcare, education, good quality of life for their people, big socialist programs. They are not obligated to spend money on military production mm-hmm. and military defenses because the United States takes care of all that for them. But now with the United States going bankrupt with $32 trillion in debt, all of this is happening exactly at the point of time that our U.S. defense manufacturers are looking for new markets. They need those European markets. And that's why they're trying to corner Europe and NATO into this war with Russia. But Europe and France, as we can all see, the streets of Paris are burning.
Yes.
The French people are irate over the it's not just that they're the age of retirement is going up by 2 years from 62 to 64, though that's a very big deal. They're also very angry about the Ukraine war and Russia and the United States blowing up Nord Stream, destroying Nord Stream, spewed 320,000 metric tons of methane gas into the stratosphere. And that is, methane gas is the second largest cause of global warming and climate change. It is a very destructive act. And this was the Europeans are deeply, whether you agree with climate action or not, the Europeans are very much into this. And
well, they are. That's their religion.
They're sincere. Hold on. They are sincere and they mean it. They're not playing games. So they had this, the United States as an ally. Joe Biden was, Trump was very sarcastic and scornful of the climate action. But Biden has been pretending he's the fake emperor.
Oh yeah,
committed to the environmental reforms, etc. And the Europeans trusted Biden, but they were deeply shocked and surprised when they blew up Nord Stream. It has just, it's devastating. It is a catastrophic event. It's been compared to Chernobyl. It has been compared to Chernobyl. And it was done by the United States deliberately, which has forced the, it has cornered Germany and the European nations into, you know, they had wanted to move back into positive relations with Russia to end the war in Ukraine and have some peace brokering. Blowing up Nord Stream stopped Germany for the next 8 to 10 years. They are in bad shape with their energy policy, which means that the economy, the global recessionary, it's much worse for the Europeans than it is for the United States.
Yeah.
The United States has been, and France has been very vocal that the United States is overcharging our allies for oil and gas, that we are shipping over to them, and we're supplying some of that their needs, but we are supercharging them for the privilege, and we're not acting like good allies. We destroyed their pipeline that they needed. We cornered them into being trapped Europe into supporting this
yeah, but hold on. This whole thing has to be understood in the context of the last decade. And the Europeans are just as much to blame for this, and to a certain extent, so is Donald Trump, as Barack Obama. This is a decade story. And the story is, first of all, climate change and climate policies and this whole climate thing is a pseudo-religion. It is the theory, it is the myth. Hold on. It is the myth that somehow human action is causing negative impacts on the climate. The temperature's rising, the temperature's cooling, whatever they're saying. It used to be cooling in the 70s and now it's rising. It is all bullshit. It is absolutely all nonsense. And it is geared from a psychological operations point of view to influence and control human behavior.
Let me finish.
It has been calculated. It has been reinforced by scientific pseudoscience, and I would say complete heresy when it comes to science. The numbers have been fudged, if not blatantly fabricated. You've got study upon study that is complete a false and fiction. It has been designed for a political leverage point for a post-Christian Europe and a post-Christian America. I look from a PSYOP perspective, and I look at the intuitions, I look at the tonality, I look at the conversations and the political speeches and everything that is going around in the macro sense and the micro sense of human society. And I look at Europe and I look at the United States and I look at the climate change variable, and I see this is a complete psychological operation to control economic output, control dietary input, control everything about human behavior using the dogma and the Chicken Little theory that if you don't eat bugs, if you don't stop procreating, if you don't do this, then the climate is going to destroy us in 12 years. Look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is a prime candidate in the school of idiots that has been advancing this. And unfortunately, we don't have any real men in the United States Congress, certainly not in the media, that are standing up saying this very blatantly and boldly. We don't have any women either, but we don't have any men leading the way to say, you know what? Nobody wants to pour oil into our creeks and our ponds or our streams or our lakes. Obviously, we want to be good stewards of the environment.
Absolutely.
But that is different than saying we can't be constructing any more buildings in Britain. We can't be having red meat. We can't be having that. We can't have golf courses. We can't have this for all these reasons. So I'm not going to devote the whole show to that, but it is a psychological operation that has been carefully crafted for human control. Now, Yeah, okay, go ahead. You want
to? But let me point something out to you. I agree with everything you're saying, but you cannot change the fact this is Europe's religion.
It is.
It is a religion. It is Europe's religion, and they are devoutly committed to this religion.
Yes, doesn't the U.S. action on Nord Stream make them look like silly hypocrites, children, laughable jokes?
It makes Pinocchio us look like wooden puppets. We have betrayed what but realize, think of it from Greta Thunberg,
the little mongoloid girl. Yeah. She's not
okay, mongoloid. Now, I don't mean to insult mongoloids.
That's just my Scottish.
Okay, now hold on, Scott. Do not insult mongoloids. Okay, now hold on. We don't need to deteriorate into name calling here. The point is, this is Europe's religion. They are deeply committed to this. And they thought, they trusted Joe Biden and the Democrats to be on their side, standing with them. And they believed deeply that they had an ally who was an ally on climate change, on the environment, who shared the religious philosophy of devotion and worship to the cause of climate act, to the God of climate change.
That's right.
They believed with all of their hearts. And now they find out of the blue, the ally that they thought that, you know, the president who declared himself to be the most significant defender of the environment in the history of the world. You know, Trump never did that. Biden has tried to say that he's the best environmental president ever. And what does he do? He goes and in the middle of the night, he destroys the Nord Stream pipeline. The Nord Stream pipeline explodes.
An act of terrorism
is such an immense betrayal of that religious fervor that we have shattered. I don't think that you, with all due respect, Scott, it is a sign. You may agree to say that climate action is a psyop, but we have destroyed our own mythos.
Yes.
As the great ally defender of the
environment. We have made
a fatal mistake. And now we have our actions have opened the way for Macron to say, hey, look, they do not share our values.
Yes.
And every single European in France, in Germany, in Italy, in England, in Holland, in the Netherlands, and everywhere, everyone says, you know what? That's the truth. It's one of those things you can never take back.
And no, you're right.
Here at home, I can talk to little, you know, greeny friends, yeah. Gen Z, who have no comprehension of what Nord Stream has meant to the Europeans and what it meant to destroy Nord Stream, or what the consequence for high energy costs are for the Europeans. I mean, the damage to Europe's economy from this. Macron is now facing, you know, people demanding that he resign from.
Well, Marine Le Pen is leading the polls in France, and I mean,
they're out on the streets burning the city. There's
buildings collapsing in France. I mean, there's some mysterious explosions and a building collapsed. There's raving. There's anger. You've got Dutch farmers. You've got all of the people in France and Germany and the Netherlands and Britain rising up to a certain extent in rejection of their quote unquote leaders, because they've been failing and betraying their own people and their own values. I agree with you 100%.
The religion of
climate change is the sacred idol, and you've suddenly gone with a sledgehammer and smashed it. And you've also guaranteed that unless Russia comes riding in on a white horse and does some sort of emergency natural gas, fuel, oil, blood transplant to Europe, unless Russia comes rushing in and saves Europe, you're going to have a next winter, December, January, February, you're going to have a dark age in Europe like they've never had before, because they don't have the gas and the fuel. They don't have it in their stores. And Saudi Arabia and the Middle Eastern countries are shutting off the pumps. And Russia has shut down the pumps. And now they're shifting away from the petrodollar. So you're going to have a collapse of the petrodollar in the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a complete depletion of the natural gas, natural energy. You're going to then go into the wintertime. And I think we're going to have massive uprisings as this goes closer, which may explain why they're going to prepare false flags and all sorts of things in the U.S. and Europe to try and, you know, contain this. But you're going to have major unrest. And I think you're wise to see that Macron and this gentleman here, Charles Michel, Europe is warming up, pushing away from the United States. They're shifting towards China for this very reason. They're shifting away from the United States trajectory, which I think is kamikaze. And they are trying to chart out a new course. But the problem is, too, Europe has been a bunch of Pinocchio wooden doll hypocrites, because as Angela Merkel and Hollande, the prior French minister, admitted, and they've been caught on, you know, phone calls with pranksters, and they're all admitting that the agreements, with the Minsk agreements that were done after 2014, 2016, somewhere around there, these Minsk agreements were, quote, to give Ukraine time to arm and weaponize in order to do a genocidal civil war, in order to kill everybody in Donetsk and Luhansk and Crimea that weren't bowing down to the U.S. puppet regime of Nazis that they put in. So the Europeans, the Poles, who are, you know, more and more you're seeing these people as complete idiots and morons. The Poles, the Germans, the French, NATO, all of them were backing this Ukrainian Minsk agreement to go to war against Russia.
They're waking up pretty fast, though, aren't they?
Well, Russia, again, no one seems to really understand and appreciate that Russia is not European and it's not American. It doesn't chatter. It doesn't let out a lot of flatulent noise. They're very cold. They're very direct. They're very stern. They've been through more hardship in 500 years than any other community of nations. Dealing with the Huns and dealing with Napoleon.
The poverty and the serfdom, yes.
They've dealt with stuff, and they love their culture and their people more than any other white Anglo-Saxon culture and people. I know, I've seen them up close and personal, lived with them, in fact. They love their country and their culture and their language. They are deeply defined with their motherland. And when they have reacted to this European, United States-led aggression against Russia in from 2014 until last January and February, where Russia finally said, that's it, we've given you our red lines, and now we're going in because you're preparing for an operation against us. You've been doing biochemical labs in Ukraine. We're not going to tolerate that. You've overthrown Yanukovych. We're done tolerating your nonsense. And Russia has gone in, and they have destroyed and decimated and to rubble and ruin everything that was of Ukrainian culture. Zelensky, the Jewish Zionist Khazarian piano playing with his penis fool that the United States put in there, and all these other fools in the American government that love, or the American military that love to wear their blue cavalry hats and salute the Ukrainian Nazis, all of them, like Admiral Eric Olson, who has been snuffed out, and many of the other U.S. and British forces, they've all been essentially destroyed or captured or on the run from, and this isn't me saying, this is Ritter, this is McGregor, and everyone else, Senator Dick Black, they've all been saying the same thing. Russia is on this massive tidal wave, tsunami, that's going to drive all of the U.S. and all of NATO out of Ukraine and leave nothing but a barren, shattered remnants of Indian tribes, if you will. This is what Europe has done. Europe has done this. Yes.
I'd like to intercede right there, because There's a very important point that most people overlook in the Ukraine war. The Russians fought World War I and World War II, and in World War II, they lost 20 million people. Yeah. Let that sink in. 20 million human Russians died in World War II, okay? And in World War I, that was on the heels of World War I, where the Eastern Front was the other devastating zone. They fought terrible wars with Napoleon. They know wars deeply, what wars mean. And they, Russians do not go fight unless they're going to win it. They got dragged into Afghanistan, and that was a 10-year disaster. Mm-hmm. But that was a reminder to the Russian people that you just don't go start wars if you don't have to. You just don't do it. So if you're going to fight a war, you're going to go in there and you're going to fight to win. There's not, like, the United States wants to drag out wars. The United States is looking at every war as a profit center. And so Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman need profit centers to continue as long as possible. The United States doesn't like short wars. They want to have long, deep, drawn out.
See, the problem is,
but Russia has a different tactic. Russia wants to go in, strike, blitzkrieg, finish it off, and they pound the hell out of their target. Their targets. They're not playing. It's not a war of attrition. Like, we'll just pit back and forth and try to, and until one, the other side gets.
That's where the United States.
They go in and they crush their enemy.
But that's where the United States has been.
You have to the last man.
But you have to look at the United States has become so ideologically bent and delusional that we think war is like a contract. War is just an opportunity to make money from Boeing and Raytheon and Booz Allen Hamilton and SAIC. And we can always pack up and leave Afghanistan. Oh, well, we'll go to Syria. And then, oh, we'll go to Libya. Oh, we'll go to Ukraine. We don't seem to understand that at some point, we're not just going to lose the forces in these countries. We're going to lose our cities. We're going to lose our states. And I don't mean necessarily invasion across the Mexican border or from California or in Florida. I'm talking about asymmetric warfare. I'm talking about silent PSYOP, cutting out electrical grids, cutting off water supplies, poisoning water supplies, shutting down grids life, if you will, in Chicago and New York. When we have a country that is already a tinderbox of social lunatics like the transgender, gay, homosexual, feminist
the
agenda,
addicts,
when we have Black Lives Matter, when we have all of these internal lice, fleas, and parasites that are on the welfare class that are, I mean, look at the young swimmer gal that was in San Francisco State, Gaines, who has protested swimming on a team with a guy coming into the locker room and claiming to be a girl. He's not a girl. He's a sexual schizophrenic that is putting on a bra, calling himself a girl so he can compete with girls in swimming and win because he can't compete with men. And that's happening in all sorts of sporting events. And it is a shame and a disgusting demonstration of God's curse on this country that we have men that aren't standing up for their daughters and their girls saying, no, no, no. There will not be one man running a race or swimming in a race who's got a penis or at any point prior had a penis. You have a penis, you do things on the men's side. You don't have it anymore, too bad. You're a dumb shit, but you're not going to be swimming or running against girls. That's where we draw the line. Where are people saying that in this country? Oh, we don't seem to have them because God has cursed this country for allowing this madness to come out.
Well, okay, but coming back to Ukraine, and that's really my focus is Ukraine and China and the European Union. I think this is an important time. If you have that video of of this week, President Biden had a meeting with in Ireland, right?
Yes, let me bring it up right here. It is rather comical, but we may play it a couple times here. So let me him up. This is, let me make sure.
The Prime Minister of Britain. The little brown guy is the Prime Minister of Britain.
Make sure our... There we go. There's Biden coming in. Here he's coming down the steps. Now watch this. He brushes Rishi Sunak out of the way to shake the hands or say hello to some guy who looks like the Music Man. Didn't I see you on Turner Classic Movies? Weren't you the Music Man guy?
He's like, look at this. Yeah, play it again. He comes down and he kind of pushes the Prime Minister of Britain. That man is the Prime Minister of Britain. And Biden is just ignoring him, kind of shunting him aside, giving him a sideways, dirty look like, yeah, what are you doing talking to me? I'm the President of the United States. He's the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the number one ally of the United States. He's being ignored. Look at that. Look at that look. I'm so offended. I apologize to our British allies for that behavior. That is just bad news. Oh my God. And he's just shouldering him aside. And this guy, oh, I don't like that. That look. Stop it when you get to that look. Stop it when you get right to, a little bit farther. A little bit farther, and then stop right there. He's like, this guy, no, we don't need to keep, okay. But, that is Britain's first prime minister from India, who is of Indian descent. He has a brilliant education. He's very impressive human being, very and young and vital. And he represents, he's the British.
Yeah, but he's got no common sense either. Yes, he's went to, the rich elite schools.
He's a conservative. He's a conservative.
Yeah, I don't know.
He is a conservative.
Well, he comes from the Conservative Party. But let me tell you something. Boris Johnson comes from the Conservative Party, too. So did Liz Truss, and they are not conservatives. They entertained the entire Ukrainian war. They still entertained it. They allowed the blowing up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Liz Truss was implicated in it. These people who call themselves conservatives and are on the endless war are not conservatives.
Okay, but
that's where we've had a complete breakdown of the conservative philosophy in America and in Britain. But I would say, yeah, they come from the Conservative Party, but
they come from the Conservative Party, and it is a very big deal for Britain to bring the Indian population, Scott, into the Conservative Party.
Certainly.
That is a very, very, very big deal. And they and Rishi Sunak is, I apologize for if I say his name wrong. Rishi Sunak is trying to get better trade relations with the United States while we are screwing screwing France and Germany. We are also doing terribly stupid things with Britain. Britain left the European Union and is sort of outside the European Union. And they were expecting the United States to provide trade relations and have trade deals between our two countries that would accommodate and compensate for the loss of European trade. And Joe Biden is just such a moron. He's so tone deaf. He doesn't even appreciate or understand the value of that relationship. And again, just as blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline damaged the expectations of European citizens about and our environmental commitment, Britain's lack of trade options with the United States, that lack of a treaty is showing that the Europeans are really out alone without us on trade and economics as well. That is devastating if when you have China in the wings saying, hey, come over here, we'll do business with you.
Well, let me shift to China, okay? Because in one sense, there's a lot beginning to happen.
This
with
is
China.
A terrible mistake.
There's a Taiwan situation. There is the Taiwan president coming over here, meeting with the Democrat, and then meeting with McCarthy in California, I think it was. And there's this whole, there's all these conversations now about McCall saying we will declare an authorization of military force, which I consider completely unconstitutional in the first place, because you're committing to war with going around the Congress. When you engage in military activity, you are engaging in war, essentially, if you're killing their people and they're killing yours. But now McCall is saying, well, we could do an authorization of military force against Taiwan or against China through Taiwan or declare war. Susan, how do you see this Taiwan situation? Because in one sense, the free people of Vietnam and the Philippines and Cambodia and Thailand, and these other nations are looking at China and the Taiwan issue, and they're going, are we going to have nuclear or severe military fighting in the Asian hemisphere between China and America? What do you think is going to be unfolding?
Well, I think the United States is, there's some things that I know that I cannot say, Scott, and it pertains to China. The United States, what you can all see, is that we are rapidly losing our power. The United States is rapidly crashing down. We have gone off the cliff. We're crashing. We're imploding as a global superpower. And all of these Asian countries that expected the United States to stand strong, you know, peace through strength. Peace through strength means parity. It means that you can be very respectful to China and should be respectful to China, but they will also be respectful to the United States and to Cambodia and Thailand and South Korea and Japan. And what's happening is our betrayals, our stupid mistakes of Joe Biden, like right now, the British are gaming different scenarios without a United States presence in Asia, okay? If the United States really falls, how will the British deal with different scenarios as China takes on more power? They're moving to figure out what those answers should be. And they're doing it with the expectation that the United States no longer is committed to US alliances on a financial basis, on trade, on military containment policies. Again, peace and prosperity are better or prosperity and security go hand in hand. China is right about that. You have security through peace, and you have peace through security. And those things are interlocking in the Chinese world.
Well, but you know what it's like, Susan? It's like oil is required to lubricate the machine, right? The United States machine requires money to lubricate our endless war, our military machine all over. And it seems to me like the money supply, the oil that lubricates our machine, is suddenly going to become so rapidly watered down, it's going to lose all of its viscosity. It's going to lose all of its, it's going to turn into worthless toilet paper, because the rest of the world is going to dump it, because they're abandoning the United States for all sorts of reasons.
Yes.
And if the oil becomes just like water, it loses its ability to lubricate the machine. It's not the machine itself. You don't have the money to pay your Marines, your sailors, your Air Force. You don't have the money for the gas. No one's filling up your tankers. in the ports of Asia or anywhere else for dollars. We're not going to fill up your destroyer with gas. We're not going to fill up your, we're not going to give you that. It just seems like the entire oil of the machine of America and Britain, by the way, but in America in particular, is about to completely break down.
Yes.
It's not going to have the ability to engage in adventurism in Asia. Yes. What are you going to have? What is the face of the United States going to become other than a dystopia, an escape from New York? And it could be temporary, but I mean,
It won't be temporary. We would wish that it would be temporary, but it is the new powerless, defanged United States. And in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, even Kuwait, they watched us destroy the Arab world. They may have originally hated Saddam Hussein, but once they saw how viciously and destructively the United States tore apart this poor, helpless country that didn't have anything, and they saw the poverty of the Iraqi people, and they are fellow Muslims. The idea that they're Sunni or Shiite does not matter to a Muslim. They are all Muslims. They all believe in they all worship under the Prophet Muhammad. There is no God but God, and you know, Allahu Akbar.
Well, they thought the Americans were going to come in and destroy one room of the house, the Saddam Hussein room, you know, the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and all of these man boy loving, you know, man dress wearing. Oh, yes. Bring in the United States to destroy the Saddam Hussein room. But guess what? We have turned our sledgehammer and destroyed the entire house of the Islamic Middle East Muslim world. Yes. And we're going on to the neighborhoods of Ukraine.
Neighborhoods of Syria. We've gone into the neighborhood of Yemen. We have gone into the neighborhood of Libya. So far we've got Iraq, Libya, Syria, Yemen. And if we could, we would go on and we'd attack even more. We'd go into Iran. I think that's really great. I think that's an excellent image. They thought that we would go into the Saddam Hussein room, and instead we destroyed the entire palace and all the children and the future and the dreams of the country were just smashed to nothing. And the countries that, so the United States is now a deeply hated nation.
How sad that makes us, Susan, because you and I want the opposite. We want our country to be loved. We want our nation to be loved. We want our culture to be loved and admired. We want America of the 1950s and the 60s and the 70s to be held up, aside from the Vietnam and these little episodes. America great?
We hated
great?
Vietnam. Yeah.
What makes America great is our optimism, our joy, our ingenuity, our technical capability, of course, our manufacturing, our ingenuity, everything.
We recognize the Vietnam War. Now, I didn't mean to say we hate the people of Vietnam. The Vietnam War, we all recognize, was a disaster. It was horrific, was terrible. You know, that what we did, again, what you see is exactly what we did to the Iraqis and the Syrians. I didn't mean to say that we hate Vietnam. It's the war. It's the war that we all oppose, but we still see that the United States of freedom and the Constitution and liberty, and there's so much good in this country and hope that we have tried to restore and bring back to life. And it's right before our eyes.
Every other nation is looking at the United States going, okay, let's take a score card. Let's look at who you are and what you've done. They are very accurate and good at history, right? We don't seem to be.
We're terrible at history.
One day after another, and we forget what happened yesterday or the week before. Yes. Not the rest of the world. They go, oh, well, we're going to open up the book and see what you've been saying and doing. Okay, you've got, besides your breaking down of Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya and Syria and Ukraine, besides the war, military, industrial complex agenda, you've also got a criminal justice system that is prosecuting your own president, Donald Trump, regardless of you like him or hate him. You're abusing and weaponizing your own Department of Justice to go after and become a tyranny of police state. You've confiscated the assets of other countries taken their gold and their other resources and their ships and all that. You've just gone like criminal bandits, and you're taking people's money and wealth. You also have this transgender, gay rights agenda that you're trying to push on other nations. You're trying
policies.
To push it in Africa. You're trying to push it on everybody to say every nation should be, celebrating homosexuality and all this other stuff. And the rest of the world is more conservative. You know this better than anyone, Susan. The rest of the world is extraordinarily more conservative than we are. Probably because they're not so diluted and saturated in materialism, and they have more of a grounded, deeply rooted connection to history and their tribe and their culture and their ethnicity, whether it's Palestine, Lebanon, Iran, Africa. These other nations, these other peoples and cultures have existed for thousands of years. We haven't. We've yes. just popped up, like a temporary wisp of smoke. But the rest of the world is going, everything that you are, everything that you've done since 1990, let's just make it easy, since 1990, you had the Clinton agenda come in and try and destroy Russia. That didn't work out very well. You then had 9/11, your own self-inflicted false flag, and the Saudis, and we'll go in and destroy the Saddam Hussein room. But no, you destroyed the whole palace, and now you're pushing the transgender agenda, and again, endless war. Looking to China, it's about time that we divorce you. I think the rest of the world is starting to say, and that's what you're talking about. Europe going to China, going, hey, what Macron says, we're pretty much on board with.
That's a big shift for the United States. Losing Europe, the fact that the Europeans are looking at the BRICS nations, BRICS being Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And when we say South Africa, we mean all of the African continent.
Yes. Yes.
The African continent is racing to get in, is already applying to include itself in BRICS. Yes. And they're coming, they're circulating the concept of an African dinar as well, so that all of those countries could be united in dealing with BRICS.
And they took out Gaddafi because of it. Now, what are you going to try and take out all the other African countries?
And they know, and the African countries respected Gaddafi.
Yes.
They respected him. He tried to help them. He tried to open opportunities for other countries. He invested very heavily in Egypt, Chad, Sudan, all the other African.
Here's how I see the military.
That had no support from Washington at all. The only time Washington ever looks at those countries is if they're trying to extract some resources from them and force them to give it to their corporations more cheaply.
Here's how I see, this is important to look at too, and you can chime in on this. Here's how I see the military industrial complex of the United States in retraction. I see number one, Africa Command, and I was part of the team that put it together with Ian Zabrinsky, the son of Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Mia Zabrinsky, but Ian Zabrinsky worked with us at Booz Allen Hamilton, and we did the entire Africa Command setup in Chad, Mauritania, scattered out the nations, thinking that we're going to launch into Africa Command, and that's going to be our center point, that we're going to spread and metastasize into these other African nations and petrodollarize them and rape and pillage and take their resources. All of that is failing right now. It's just
taking
imploding.
Their resources.
Africa Command is going to be the first to fall. They're going to be expelled and expunged from Africa. Every American military person and potentially every embassy out of country. So Africa Command is going to fall. Then you may have a Central Command in Qatar fall because of the new peace negotiations and stability agenda in Iran, in Kuwait, in the United Arab Emirates, in Saudi Arabia. So Central Command in Qatar could immediately start to shrink like a cancer.
The United Arab Emirates has joined Saudi Arabia. Those are two most reliable allies. We look at the Emirates as one of the most westernized the Emirates and Lebanon, but Lebanon doesn't have any oil, but the Emirates is loaded with oil and is a Gulf nation. It is prime positioned geographically, and we have always relied on the Emirates, just like we rely on Germany and Saudi Arabia. But the Emirates is more westernized and more liberal than the Saudis. So the Emirates has always had a special place in the hearts of the American people.
And when
they're now leaving us.
Yeah. Now, see, when Jordan goes, then you know it's done, it's dead, the whole machine, abandon the car, because Jordan is going to be the last one to fall and abandon the United States in our influence operation.
The thing is, Jordan is holding the line on Israel.
Yeah, I know, temporarily, but they could be overthrown very easy. They're a royal family, right? So I could see Jordan overthrown in an Arab Spring, but within an authentic Arab Spring rising. And then European command. Don't you have a lot of conversations and people rising saying, get rid of the United States in Europe? You don't need them.
Well, hold on. We've never had that happen until now, until right this hour.
Yeah.
That's where the Nord Stream comes in. The Nord Stream sabotage becomes so desperately important, and exposing our contempt and scorn for the religion of climate action. Mm-hmm. We were false friends. We have enormous betrayal of that. Whether or not you believe in climate change or not, it is a fact that blowing up Nord Streams, 320,000 metric tons, qualifies as a catastrophe as great as Chernobyl. And it is.
Well, doesn't it make Europe look like hypocrites? If you're worshiping this idol and the United States smashes it, you have got to be outraged and pissed off and furious about it. Because if you're not, it was never real to begin with.
There you go.
Your whole worship of the climate is all a bunch of nonsense and hypocrisy. And you're hypocrites because you're failing to stand up to the destroyer of your religion.
Yes.
And I agree with you 100%.
Yes.
Their religion is climate change. And guess what? The United States just came in and defecated and smashed on your sacred idol of climate change. And what do? You just kind of go, oh, sacre bleu. No, we're with the United States. Then your whole religion is worthless, and you're a hypocrite and you're a liar. And the Europeans are going, holy Toledo, that's true. So we have a choice. Either we're hypocrites and worse than scum in the eyes of the world, or we stand for something, and by nature we have to push off the United States. And I think they're in that second stage. I think they're pushing us back because they realize if we don't abandon this agenda of America, then we are, in a sense, going to be next. We're going to be turned into worse than slaves. We're going to be eating bugs and wearing burlap in exchange for American natural gas to heat the flickering candles of our homes like Bob Cratchit in the movie Scrooge.
They have to go out in Germany, and they're going into the Black Forest and chopping down trees so they can have heat. I mean, that's, this was, and it will take 8 to 10 years to rebuild Nord Stream. However, the Russians, now this is actually important. The Europeans are also discovering that all those sanctions that are imposed by the great demand of the United States on Russia have backfired on the Europeans as well as the Americans. Nobody is suffering from that more than Germany and France and Italy and all those, Britain, all the European countries together are in much worse condition than the United States. But Russia easily found new buyers for their oil. They found it in India, they found it in China, and now India and China is feeding the juggernaut of those two countries, India and China. And Russia doesn't have any, is now going to starve out the Europeans who are then forced to rely on the United States. And we have been bad allies. Instead of subsidizing our oil sales to Britain and Europe, we're jacking up our prices and we're price gouging our allies. We are price gouging these people. And so here we've created this war. They're also, let's be real, the Europeans understand history. They understand about the Ukrainian, what is it, the Slobdo, what is it? The Nazi influence, Banderas, Stepan, yes, Bandera, yes, yes, Banderistas, yeah, Stepan Banderistas, who are Nazis, who yes. are torturing these people, and they understand the history very well. And it's the Americans who don't understand the history. So they understand cultural ethnicity and the desire to keep alive the Russian language. And you think they understand what it means. You're born in the Russian language. You think in the Russian language. You speak the Russian language. You dream in the Russian language. And you can't, the Ukrainians wanted to destroy that basic human principle, and it cannot be done.
And you're so also
the Europeans understand this at a much more intimate level than we do.
And you're right. And they are encountering bigotry, prejudice, disgusting racial asinine nonsense from the Germans, among all. Talk about someone who should be apologetically anti-Nazi, anti-Bandera and all that. The Germans, you people are blamed for the biggest catastrophe in the history of white Anglo-Saxon Caucasian humanity in the last 1,000 years with World War II. But the German Ukrainian lunacy, these Nazis covered in Nazi tattoos, waging bigoted genocide
that is a very important moment to talk about what has just come out. There is a video circulating, allegedly, of a Russian soldier beheading a Ukrainian soldier. Zelensky has put this video out, and it is very graphic and crude and very ugly. And it purports to show Russian war crimes. I would say to you that if you go back to 2014, you will see that Ukrainian soldiers caught Russian soldiers and crucified them. By crucifixion, I mean you see them pounding nails into their hands and their feet, and they've also set Russian soldiers on fire.
Yes,
they doused them in gasoline, burned them. But these are the monstrosities that are created by the atrocities created by the Ukrainians that have inspired Russians to insist on denazification. And I do believe that it was the Ukraine that did it to the Russians, the other way around.
No doubt. I mean, they've been trained by the Mossad and waterboarding. They've been trained by the CIA and the MI6 and all sorts of other operations. There's been reports of, monstrous tortures that are inhuman. And quite honestly, I am amazed at the patience of the Russian military in not exacting the vengeance that they deserve. But we'll see how this closes. Susan Lindauer, it is always an honor to have you on with us. I enjoy having just you on with this program because we go like a Gatling gun, and it is good. We cover so much great material. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us again. And thank you, our audience, for joining us on Global Freedom TV. And Key and Tong, our producers, we will see you tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.